Yo, welcome to the Meet and Three Leadership Podcast. If it's your first time to the table, welcome, welcome. Glad that you decided to join us. Pull up a seat and make yourself at home. I hope you brought your appetite because we are about to eat really good over these next 30 minutes. I want to go ahead and set it up like this. First of all, if you're not subscribed on your favorite listening device so you know when new episodes are coming out, you might want to go do that. Still have not gotten the word that we're on Apple yet, but Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, I really enjoy all the feedback that people have given me over episodes and things like that. I'm greatly appreciative of people taking the time to listen to it, but we're going to jump right in, and I got to set it up like this. This guy that you're about to hear from has invested a lot into me, especially in my first few months of being married. I connected with him through my church. Shout out to New Spring Church in South Carolina. I was a part of a radical mentoring group through the church with a few other recently married guys. And we were learning from this guy who you're going to hear from, Tim Mays. And he just shared his heart. You know, he walks us through, you know, what it looks like to be, you know, a godly husband, a godly man, a godly father, you know, and just different things that could cause people to stumble, the pitfalls along the way that makes it difficult. And he just gets really raw, really real, you know, even in these 30 minutes. And I want you to understand, like, I had 6 months or so with him. So this is still just very much the tip of the iceberg. And he gives you a lot of resources to be able to go back and, you know, look up, you know, he gives you a lot of books. He's definitely a big reader. So anybody who's a reader, you definitely want to grab some notes or run this episode back and be able to listen to or catch some of the books that he references. But Tim is a great friend of mine. I am honored to have him just be able to come and share some wisdom and insight on the podcast. And like I said, it gets really real, really fast. And I'm very thankful for his just heart to be honest, open, and transparent, you know, within this space. So without much further ado, please welcome to the table, Tim Mays. Tim, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Thanks, man. Thanks. It's just a privilege.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that you were able to come and join me and just be able to share a little bit of the wisdom that you definitely have. I've gotten a chance to get to know you a lot over these past few months, especially. But as is customary on the podcast, do you remember the first time we met?
I do. Well, the first time I remember you, as far as us meeting officially, but I remember, you know, seeing you at Fuse. Mm-hmm. And when I was volunteering there, and then down at the Gauntlet, you probably don't remember the first time there. So we were throwing a football, had a contest so you could throw the football the furthest.
I think I might actually remember that. That's crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I saw you around there, and then I guess when we did this little thing last year, really, when we quote met and really got to know each other.
Yeah.
So
and we'll dive into that a little bit more, because obviously that recently ended, so I'm curious to hear your perspective. I recently filled out an evaluation for you, so you know my thoughts, but I'm curious to hear yours kind of few months removed from it. But for anybody who has never met you before, how would you introduce yourself?
I'm Tim Mays, 58 years old, been married to my first wife for 35 years. I have three grown children, and all are doing well. My youngest is about to graduate from Clemson in December, and born and raised pretty much here. Did a little stint in Tennessee just briefly when I graduated from school, but pretty much been here in Oconee County and Fair Play, and I work with a utility. Been there for 33 years. So I'm kind of boring in those stands, but because I'm not normal in some ways of being working that and also, you know, staying married that long. That's kind of an oddity these days. Yeah. But work with a Blue Ridge Electric Cooperative, 10 New Spring, and involved there, and have been on probably a 7-year journey to kind of figure out some things about mentoring men, what that looks like.
Yeah, and obviously I want to jump right into that is, you know, 7 years ago, You know, what was kind of the thing that was stirring in your heart that made you want to dive into that field?
I was involved in, through my work, involved in a lot of community organizations. And in those organizations, they were saying, we need male mentors. Mm-hmm. There's such a shortage of male mentors. We need male mentors. And then we had a message at church that about finding your purpose, and what question was asked, what is it that you see that you think somebody should do something about? And that's probably where God's calling you. And the message was, where your misery is where your ministry will be.
That's good. Yeah.
So what is it that you think somebody needs to really do something on that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I left that service thinking, okay, I need to see why males aren't mentoring.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Why does that exist? Because, you know, never just really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did a Google search of Christian male mentoring, and this book, Mentoring Like Jesus, popped up by a guy named Reggie Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got it and read it. And his whole thing is, look at how Jesus mentored the men that were around him.
Mm-hmm.
He spent time with them, and he did it in a group setting.
Yeah.
And so that was really the model that came out of it, because you can do individuals,
mm-hmm.
but usually guys are looking just for to put out the existing fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so this process goes through, you know, a period of time, and it's very strategic, and it's very focused mm-hmm. on what you want to get out of it. And so started down that road, and then really impacting book for me was Wild at Heart
mm-hmm.
several years ago. That sort of put the fire there, and it was there. And this just ignited it. So we got a group of guys to meet on that, and then started trying to develop some leadership materials to mm-hmm. get guys to feel. Because what I found is men don't mentor because they don't feel like they can.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they listen to the voices, they listen to the enemy that says, you can't, you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and look, and that's where Wild at Heart really helped, is you go back to that daddy issue, that relationship with your dad, and how the whole part of growing up is for your father to teach you how to fail safely
mm-hmm.
and believe that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really gets that much anymore. And it helped me to realize, you know, there were areas in my life that I was unfathered.
Mm.
And even though my dad was a great man, good Christian man,
mm-hmm.
always there, medical doctor, you know, just... What Eldridge says in his book, Fathered by God, is when a man or a boy feels like he's alone and he's got to make it on his own, that's where he's unfathered.
Mm.
And so that growing up process is to learn how things work in the world, and you need a daddy for that.
Yeah.
Or a male in your life to help show you what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been the process I've been going through. And so we've done some classes and we've done some things, and it's been pretty neat to see how it's all. But through the whole process of trying to get to this point, I've grown tremendously in my own life. I realized, hey, you got some things you need to forgive your dad for.
Mm.
And I never realized that because he was such a fine man and upstanding in the community and all. But to realize, you know, there were some things that happened that I needed to work on the forgiveness. And my big trail has been, you know, getting my arms around the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because that keeps us paralyzed. Because, you know, if you don't forgive, then you're damaged.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move forward because it's got you paralyzed.
Yeah. Talk about, I mean, like that, especially, you know, spending the last few months, I've definitely heard you go in depth about, you know, just what it looks like to be unfathered, what it looks like to be, you know, have forgiveness, you know, in areas, you know, I guess everybody would come into a relationship with a mentor or a small group or something like that in different points in life. And I think you hit the nail on the head that a lot of people don't reciprocate that. They don't go and make disciples because they don't feel equipped. They don't feel like they can do that
What does success, I guess, or what are some moments where you can say, like, they're starting to get it? You know, what have been some moments that you've seen over the years with some people that you've met? Maybe specific examples of what it looks like to, I guess, take next steps. Because it's one thing to recognize that, hey, I have this this void, this gap in my life, but what does it look like to actually take an action step once you start meeting?
Well, for God to be able to use somebody, he's got to break you down first. Mm-hmm. And that looks different for different people. You know, yeah. What breaks you doesn't break me, and what breaks me doesn't break you. Mm-hmm. The forgiveness thing was really, I still struggle through it.
Yeah.
It's better,
yeah,
but it's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. You got to work at it, and some days, and what the big aha was, you can forgive somebody and not be reconciled with them.
Mm.
Because forgiveness takes one, reconciliation takes two. And for me to have a relationship and be reconciled with you, you've got to say, I'm sorry, you're right, or I'm
yeah.
right. And to forgive, you just got to forgive that person. Because a lot of men, myself included, my dad was passed away when I realized that. Mm. You know, and I don't know how I'd had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
But the forgiveness, Tony Evans has a great little book that's 30 Days to Victory Through Forgiveness. And, mm-hmm. and it takes you through that step of the types of forgiveness that you need to have. And it really starts more with you got to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't forgive yourself and you don't look at yourself as a child of God and a value, you know, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor well.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
And so that's what I'd be to help guys just realize, you know, how God, hence help me, how God sees you
mm-hmm.
as his child, as one that whom he dwells and who he delights.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing, but to know when a guy the light comes is when they hit the emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta grieve it. You gotta get to a point where, you know, you go to the emotional place and realize, you know, it was wrong. It did hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
I was hurt. Somebody that I love let me down,
mm-hmm.
And I forgive them.
Yeah.
And you forgive because you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big part is, you know, you don't forgive them because they deserve it, because most of the time they don't.
Yeah.
But you forgive because you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And for what, you know, those are given much, you know.
Required.
They should require
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, to know when a guy's, when they really break down and realize, you know, I do need to forgive my dad. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it hurt me, because you push things down so far and just learn to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you never grieve over it.
Right.
And you never pull it out and cry over it. And you never, you know, if you just keep going, that is, Eldridge calls it the fig leaf, and mm-hmm. John Lynch calls it the mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's behind the mask? Because I put it up because I don't think you would love me mm-hmm. if you really knew what was behind that mask.
Yeah.
So I'll wear it. And that's where the groups of men have learned, if you can get a group of guys in a safe place
mm-hmm.
where they can take their mask off, pull their fig leaf down, and just be real and understand, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys are dealing with the same things I'm dealing with.
Yeah,
I mean, you experienced it.
Yeah.
It's huge when you realize I don't have to run and hide.
Right.
There are people I can trust. There are people that I can just, you know, deal my stuff and so to get people to drop that and understand that is huge.
What is, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, as society as a whole, you know, we have this false sense, exactly like what you mentioned, fig leaves of, we have this false sense of what manhood looks like.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's this keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with this standard that's unwritten, but you feel pressure from other people to have to be a certain way. And I think that part of the reason, you know, why men especially are, you know, it's difficult to be authentic within oneself, you know,
right.
Like even to yourself. Like you said, you got to love yourself before you can love your neighbor. How does somebody just navigate not only living that out, but also, I guess, shepherding other people, you know, like leading other people? You know, I think me and you have had conversations because mm-hmm. obviously, you know, I'm in ministry on campus mm-hmm. as well, and being able to have some of the conversations that we've had mm-hmm. with some other students and some other mm-hmm. Individuals, athletes, coaches, people like that. You know, how do you, you know, it's one thing to recognize it in yourself, but how do you then guide somebody else? You know, you talked about how these 7 years have been huge for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, there were things that you were sharing at the beginning of this journey that, you know, now you can look back on and say, man, I've even grown so much since then. Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like to just speak boldly and just walk courageously?
You've got to do it in a group. Mm-hmm. You got to surround yourself with the right people. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a guy, Nate Larkin, has written a book, Samson and the Pirate Monks.
Okay.
And he started with his with dealing with sexual problems. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a pastor and all. But he goes, you got to get guys in a safe place where they feel like, okay, I can drop my guard, I can tell you. And he says, and they have a system where your partner or your, what do they call them, Barnabas, that, you know, you check in with them. This is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm feeling. It's what you feel, because your emotions drive a lot of things. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm thinking of doing.
Yeah.
And he says, if you can get a man to get to the point where he can tell you the sin he's thinking about committing, mm-hmm. and you can have that bondage. So you can't do it alone. You got to have that bondage, and it happens in a group or at least with another man mm-hmm. That you can trust. But you can't just do that with anybody, but to build that trust. And that's where, you know, churches and community are so important, is to surround yourself with guys that, and he has these, they call them they meet and they just unload. It's like an AA type mm-hmm. thing, and they just unload. But once you realize that, or a man realizes that he's not the only one mm-hmm. dealing with sexual pornography, drinking, mm-hmm. drugs, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, and you can get around and say, okay, yeah. That, and this is how I dealt with it. This is what helped me.
Yeah.
And that's where you have that bonding of other men in your lives, and not get where you've got to keep the mask up.
Yeah.
Where you can be honest.
Especially as leaders, you know what I'm yes. saying? Like, it's so difficult sometimes for a leader to step up and say, like, you know, to talk to the people that they're leading and just yeah. say, like, I'm weak. I fall short. These are how I fall short. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think that's what pushes so many leaders in further and further down that hole, and they just feel alone.
You feel alone, but you know, really, it's just like with your kids. Once you get kids mm-hmm. growing up, kids are very forgiving. Mm-hmm. And if you'll just say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, that's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge to say. And I've gotten a lot more mileage from anybody just to say, you know what? I was wrong. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And you know, very few people will not forgive you. I mean, there are people out there that sure. have, but they're
right.
Generally people that you deal with. If you fess up and say, man, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said it that way. I told my kids growing up, you can always find something to apologize for. Whether it's your tone, whether it's your posture, whether it's your, you know, inconsideracy, you know, mm-hmm. and not, you know, we have a problem saying we're wrong.
Yeah.
In our marriages and in our, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
And back to the forgiveness piece, Brian, one thing that really hit me was that to get past things, you've got to give up your right to be right. Mm-hmm. And when you give up your right to be right, things get a little better, you know. But we won't be right.
Of course we do. Of course we do. Of course we do. And this has really been incredible. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, the last few months of just being able to sit under, you know, this wisdom. Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you were able to come and share.
Yeah.
Just with a lot of, you know, people who have followed me and who know of just different roles and platforms that I've been on, but especially these last few months, just with work, with marriage, and just different things like that, you've helped me a lot.
Thank you.
And I've been very appreciative of that. And yeah. I definitely want it. It's like, I can't write enough blog posts or do enough videos to share all the things that you own. Like, I just need Tim on the podcast. I just need to bring him in and just let him just drop bombs like he normally does. I guess, you know, just kind of one more main question to kind of unpack. Fatherhood, you know, that's been something I've heard you talk about, you know, a lot, not just from your own life, but in other people's interactions. And, you know, we look at, you know, a father as, you know, a leader of the household, you know, a leader of the family, leader of, you know, the relationship between him and his wife. But a lot of people, I don't know, a lot of people have that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have a gap in fatherhood, they seek mentors. So they seek, you know, people to guide them. If a young man came up to you and said, "Tim, would you mentor me?" What is the best way that somebody could get the most out of a mentoring relationship, whether it be one-on-one, whether it be small group, something like that? Because I know there's a lot of people who want mentors, who want people to invest in them. What is one way that somebody could posture themselves going into a relationship to be mentored better?
Well, you know what I'm going to say on that. You can't beat reading a book together and just meeting weekly and unpacking it. Now, the model we used was monthly because of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want somebody, that's always, I've done that with several people, and I always do Wild at Heart.
Yeah, that's great.
That's the first one. I mean, it just opens. When you read a book together, and most of those books even have a study guide with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, but you just kind of heart what spoke to you, what jumped out at you, and then that opens the discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Where, okay, well, this worked for me, or this is how I dealt with that, or, you know, a good mentor is not going to answer your questions. They're going to guide you to your answers. And so, but the books, if I could recommend, you know, depending on your age and where you are, you know, we picked up the four books, but
you gave us a lot more, which I was very thankful.
Yeah. While, you know, a young guy that is just trying to, you know, get his arms around things is Wild at Heart and The Cure by John Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And The Cure, you know, particularly if you're, and I'm assuming this podcast is going to be, is focused more toward the Christian men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Cure by John Lynch talks about the church really and how, you know, you're trying to, you know, you can go down the road of either trying to please God or you can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to please God, you go into the realm of good intentions where everybody wears a mask. Mm-hmm. If you go down the road of trusting God, you go into the realm of grace where you're who you are and everybody loves you and everybody's got problems and issues. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped me. And the thing is, problems is our unresolved sin.
Mm-hmm.
Either what was done to us or what we did,
mm-hmm.
which leads to shame. And you remember in the garden, where are you?
Yeah,
they hid. We knew we were naked and we hid.
Right.
And that's what we do from sin is what either is done to us or we did. The shame we hide.
Mm-hmm.
And therein's the mask. Therein's the, you know, and so the shame, a lot of the shame comes from our daddy issues. So those two books, and then, you know, of course, guys that are struggling in sexual area, the Every Man's Battle.
Yeah.
It's huge to, mm-hmm. to give you. But if you get the Wild at Heart, that kind of gives you the why.
Yeah.
And the Every Man's Battle gives you the how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then the you know, but it's just the unforgiveness piece and just trying to work through that unresolved sin is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so those books just kind of bring that out, and then you can talk about life and life experiences and, mm-hmm. you know, you learn something. Reggie Campbell, who was kind of my mentor and guru, is you need to mentor somebody that's at least two seasons behind you.
Mm.
Because if you don't, you know, you need that. You need the Paul, you need the Barnabas, and you need the Timothy
mm-hmm.
in your life anyway. But,
right.
but the Paul needs to be two seasons ahead.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I hadn't been married for 35 years and I haven't had kids,
mm-hmm.
how can I help you right. kind of know what to look out for?
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important that if you go down the road of mentoring somebody, you know, you need to know that it's a person that you've got something you can share with them.
Right.
And if you're seeking out a mentor, then you seek out someone who's where you look and say, that's kind of what I want. I'll brag a little bit about my son-in-law, my oldest daughter's husband's in mm-hmm. the military. And when he asked me to marry her, mm-hmm. Abby, he said, I see what you've got and that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to do what I need to do to get it.
Wow.
And he has. He has. It's kind of neat. He actually has been deployed into Iraq, and he called me one day from Iraq, and he said, "You know, I led this guy to the Lord, and now what do I do?"
Yeah.
And they baptized him. He got baptized over there. That's so it's awesome. Kind of neat to see his growth and
mm-hmm.
how. And that's, I guess that's the biggest thing too, is understand that it's a process.
Yeah.
And in John 1:12, it says, you know, for those who received and believed, He gave them the right to become
mm-hmm.
a child of God. And so becoming, you know, that's why we got you the acorn.
Mm-hmm.
Because that acorn has everything it needs to be an oak tree.
Mm.
But it has to be developed. It has to be in the right environment. It has to be, you know.
Still on my dashboard in my car. So,
Yeah. So that was huge for me to realize that you don't ever really arrive.
Mm-hmm.
You just become.
Mm-hmm.
And becoming never ends until, you know, you take your last breath on this side.
Right.
And then, you know, then you're there. But
right,
but it's always, you're always becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process that I think everybody, and I think it was in Nate Larkin's book, is we try to reach a point with God's grace where we don't think we deserve it.
Mm.
But you never get there.
Right.
And we're trying to, and that hit me between the eyes. It's like, that's what I've been trying to do, is just, if I can just get this straightened out, if I can just get, you know, if I can get that under control, or if I can just get that, mm-hmm. then I won't need to bother God anymore.
Yeah.
And you just don't get there.
Right.
It's becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming is a process. And that's what he said. If you receive me, I'll give you the right to become.
Yeah. I know you gave, you know, a lot of book recommendations. You gave a lot of advice. Obviously, a lot of this I already have notes on, but it's always good to get a refresh.
Absolutely.
If anybody wanted to get in touch with you, I don't know if you are on social media or if you have a direct way where somebody could get in touch with you if they have more questions.
I've got a Facebook account, but I don't really. I'm more of a stalker than a.
Appreciate your honesty.
I'll post a little about Clemson football and every now and then hit a little political realm that I just can't stand. And military, I'm real passionate about the military.
I got you.
You know, when people don't give our military the respect, that kind of tweaks me. But I've got an email address that'd be glad to shoot out there if anybody mm-hmm. wants to reach out. It's tim.mays@rebuildrealmen.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so be glad to respond there. I have a little website, but it's not up and running right now. So I'm kind of in a transition period of what needs to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one thing that just, you know, to develop the rebuild real man. And I guess that'd be for another podcast.
Yeah,
to how
no,
that
absolutely. Yeah. I know we didn't cover everything on this one, so we'll circle back in a few more months and, cool. You know, we can go deeper.
Yeah.
So,
man.
But I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it, Tim. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
man. Well, thank you. I'm honored, and I hope this helps somebody out there.
Oh, I'm very positive it will. And, you know, if somebody sends me a message, I will relay that right to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, man. Thank you.
That'll wrap it up for this episode. Once again, big, big, big thanks to Tim Mays. I am so honored once again to have had him on the podcast, and he will definitely be back. So excited for you just to be able to hear more that he has to offer, and hopefully that you go and check out some of those books he referenced. I've mentioned, you know, being in the mentoring program. I've read a handful of these already, but a lot of the books that are in my upcoming queue for me to read is from this list and from other conversations that me and Tim have had. So but hopefully you got a lot out of it. I know he went, you know, super in depth, and hopefully even if you didn't get a whole lot, you at least got one or two things that you can go ahead and apply. If something jumped out at you, by all means, please let me know. Please shoot me a message, text message. If you got my number, shoot me a message on social media. I reply back. I'm very much open, you know, Twitter, Instagram, hit me up at BeNice21. I'm also on Facebook. I accept friend requests. Or shoot me a message. I'll still respond. But by all means, I am so appreciative of the feedback. And I hope very sincerely that you got something meaningful out of this episode. Until next time, God bless.